2 Timothy chapter 2, if you look with me at verse number 3, the Bible says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Verse 4 says, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Those two verses we'll use tonight. Verse 5, it says, "If a man also strive for mastery," speaking about an athletic competition, "as yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Verse 6 goes in another vein of thought, and it says, "The husbandman or the farmer that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." And in this passage here, we see three pictures of the Christian life. And as we look at them, we look at the soldier, we look at the athlete or the runner, and then we look at the farmer. I believe I may have had them all mixed up, Miss Candy, on the PowerPoint. But I'll let you fill in the blanks and let her make sure she can keep up with me here, because I had them mixed up. But three pictures of Christian life. The soldier teaches us the dedication of a Christian. The dedication of a Christian and how dedicated we should be. The athlete teaches us the discipline of a Christian. Just as an athlete has to have discipline to make it and discipline to be successful, so we in the Christian life have to have some discipline to be successful also. And then the third one is the farmer or the husbandman, and that shows us the diligence of a Christian. The soldier shows us the dedication of a Christian, the athlete the discipline of a Christian, and the farmer the diligence of the Christian. And as you look at these things, and like I said, I'll have the opportunity to speak a couple of times here in the next few weeks, and I wanted to take the opportunity to go over these things and share with you what God has spoken to me about with how these things are three pictures of the Christian life. Tonight we'll talk about the first one, and that is the soldier. And this is our title tonight, Soldiers of the Cross. Soldiers of the Cross. Let's go, Lord, in prayer and ask Him to help us tonight. Our Father, once again, we just thank You for the chance to look into Your Word. Thank You that we have Your Word, Lord, in our language to the point, Lord, where we can read it, where we can study it, where we can understand it. Thank You for Your Holy Spirit that helps us with the parts that we do not understand. And I pray that You might speak to us tonight, Lord, as we look into this portion of Scripture and look at these few verses and learn some truths that are principles of Your Word. I pray that You would help us as we are soldiers in Your army. I pray that You would help us to be better soldiers, to learn tonight how we can do better and be better for You. I pray that You would use me tonight. I ask You to fill me with the Holy Spirit and use me in a great way. And Father, I'll thank You and praise You for that. In Your name I pray. Amen. If I were to ask you tonight what are some characteristics that a soldier should have, we probably would have a lot of different answers, and probably all of us would come up with a list of characteristics what a good soldier should be. He should be dedicated. He should be disciplined. He should be diligent. Those three main characteristics that we'll look at over the next few weeks. He should be brave. He should be courageous. He should be loyal. He should be faithful. He should be prepared and equipped to do the job that is set before him. And there are a lot of things that we can probably name, but the one I want to major on is this characteristic of dedication, about being a dedicated Christian, a dedicated child of God, a child of God who truly is a dedicated soldier of the cross. Because as Christians, that's what we are. We are soldiers of the cross. We fight under the banner of Christ. We fight in His cause. We fight against His enemies. For He is the captain of our salvation, as the Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 10. It has been said about the German army of World War II that the discipline in that army was so strict under Hitler that many a soldier would have taken his own life if he'd have been ordered to do so. That kind of dedication, that kind of loyalty, that kind of commitment is what is needed today in Christianity. Christians who will be willing to follow the orders of a supreme commander, totally, completely, to the point of giving our lives so that his cause could be furthered. That is the dedication and the kind of Christian that we need today. Tonight we're going to look at three characteristics of a soldier, three qualities that a soldier should have, and they come basically out of verses 3 and verse 4 in this passage of Scripture. And in a few weeks we'll look at the athlete, and then we'll also look at the farmer after that. First of all, as we look at the soldier tonight and look at these verses, we see in verse number 3 the endurance of a soldier. The endurance of a soldier. Verse 3 says, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." Now let me share with you, as I studied this passage out some more even and looked at it some more here recently. He says, endure hardness. That word endure hardness, that phrase means to suffer trouble
or to endure affliction. Now therefore suffer trouble. Now therefore go through affliction and endure affliction as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That word good there has the implication of literally being one who goes beyond, one who is excellent, one who is better, one who is the best at being a soldier. So we could read this tonight as, thou therefore suffer trouble as an excellent soldier of Jesus Christ. What I believe that insinuates is that trouble makes us a better Christian. Trouble makes us a better soldier. And that's why he said endure hardness. That's why he said suffer affliction. That's why he said go through trouble. And go through it realizing that you are a soldier of the cross and you need to endure that hardship. Endure the difficulty. Because it will make you a better soldier. If a soldier does not endure through the battle, he will not experience and enjoy the victory. There's no soldier ever got the victory by quitting. There's no Christian that ever got the victory in his Christian life by giving up, throwing in the towel, and saying, I'm not going to go any further. It's time that we Christians decide, I'm going to endure hardship. I'm going to go through difficulty, realizing it's going to make me a better Christian in the long run. It's not time to quit, not time to give up. We're still going to go on. The old saying is certainly true that quitters never win, and winners never quit. As I thought about endurance, and I thought about how a soldier should endure, some things came to mind that I'd like to share with you tonight. First of all, we should endure in spite of hard warfare. In spite of hard warfare, expect difficulty. He says, endure hardness. Expect it. Count on it. Bear it patiently, but don't let it move you away from your post as a soldier of the cross. You see, life in the combat zone is tough. I've never had the opportunity to serve in the military, but some of you men and ladies have had that opportunity, and you know that what I just said is true. Life in the combat zone is not an easy life. Sometimes sleep is short, food is plain, the work is strenuous, the pressure is fatiguing, the risk of impending death hangs over everything. But the faithful soldier endures. Too many in God's army over the years have gone AWOL on him because of some hardship or because of some difficulty or some trouble. Don't add to the list tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you're going through a difficult time. You're going through a tough situation. And you're thinking, God, how am I going to make it? Maybe you came in tonight about ready to give up, about ready to quit. Let me tell you something. God says trouble and hardness is going to make you a better soldier, so endure the hardness as a good of Jesus Christ. Endure it in spite of hardness. Are an inescapable part of battle, so the Christian life is filled with hurts and it's filled with injuries, but we must keep on fighting. There are times that you know as well as I do that people will wound you. Circumstances will bring pain into your life and you will be hurt as a child of God. But just because the wounds are hurting and just because things have gotten a little bit difficult, keep fighting. Don't give up on God just because somebody said something wrong to you. Don't give up on God just because somebody treated you wrong or somebody treated you bad. Don't give up on God just because of the way somebody else acted. Don't give up on God just because somebody gave a wound to you. Keep fighting because we are to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. We endure in spite of hard warfare. We endure in spite of wounds that hurt and cause us pain. But we also endure in spite of hopeless workers. In spite of hopeless workers. Other soldiers in the battle may give up hope and they may throw in the towel. They may try to discourage you with words of hopelessness. But whatever they say and however they act, don't let them influence you. Because rest assured tonight that God is still on the throne, and as long as He is on our side, we are assured of complete and total victory. As long as we trust in Him, and as long as we rely on Him, and believe that God is still God, and He's not going to change. He is Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's not lost any of His power. He's not lost any of His ability. His abilities and His talents and His gifts have not diminished any since the beginning of time. God is still in control. God is still in charge. And no matter what goes on, you and I need to keep fighting. Because He is our commander. He is the one who is in charge tonight. He is still on the throne. And you may talk to some other Christians who may tell you that the time of revival is past. The time for doing something for God is over with. It's time for you to give up and throw in the towel. They may look at your life and they may say you've gone through too much. God will understand if you give up and quit. Let me tell you something. If God understood that, He wouldn't have put this verse in the Bible. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Keep fighting no matter the difficulty. Keep fighting no matter the problem. Keep battling no matter the circumstance. Keep on fighting. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I remember reading the story of a young boy who in 1918, a young boy named Glenn Cunningham, who was injured in the schoolhouse fire in that year as his brother was lighting the stove in the school, and that his brother Floyd lost his life. But Glenn survived, but he survived with tremendous burns, especially on his legs. But Glenn had a dream. That dream was that one day he would run. He wanted to run in the Olympics. He wanted to compete in races. The doctor said it was necessary to amputate his legs. Of course, back then they did not have all the technology that we have today. But Glenn had a dream, and he begged his parents. He said, don't let them take my legs. And finally, after much deliberation, they decided to go against the doctor's recommendations and what he wanted to do. And daily, his parents would come and they would massage those burned legs to the point of tremendous pain in Glenn's little body. And day after day after day, they'd come in and they would work with him. They would treat him. They'd try to help him to stand day after day. And they'd stand him up on his feet beside his bed. And he'd say, take your arms away. And they'd move their arms and he'd crumple in a heap on the floor. And day after day and week after week and month after month even, so on and so forth, that went. And Glenn, he kept his dream alive, and he said, I've still got that dream to run. But after many failures and a lot of tears and much pain, Glenn finally stood on his own. It was the next year, 1919, that he walked again for the first time. Several months and even a few years later, he ran his first competitive mile. And the first time that he ran the mile race, he ran it in 5 minutes and 18 seconds. If you know anything about running, that's a decent time today. I doubt there's many of us in here who could run it in that time. But back then, it was a great time. And he ran his first competitive mile in just a little over 5 minutes. Many races and several years later, it was Glenn Cunningham who set the world record at 4 minutes and 4 seconds and was given the title Fastest Man Alive in 1949. Why was Glenn able to get there? Because Glenn said, I'm going to endure through the hardship. And you know what? God has something great for us down the road. God has something great for us in the future. And maybe you've seen this already in your life. You've seen how because God gave you the strength to endure a hardship, you stand where you're at today as a child of God in a victorious position, successful in the Christian life because you endured some hardship. You endured some trouble. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. What are you going through tonight? What is it that's got you and it's battling you and you've been struggling with it? It's a hardship. It's a struggle. It's a difficult situation. Let me encourage you tonight. Keep fighting. Stay in the battle. Don't go AWOL on God. Because He says it's going to come, and when it does come, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. But as we look at verse number 4, we see something else about the soldier. We see the endurance of a soldier, but secondly, the entanglement of a soldier. The entanglement of a soldier. Look what He says there in verse 4, the first part of the verse. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. The word warreth there is talking about someone who does active military duty. Somebody who is actively involved in the fighting force. Entangleth, you probably don't need me to define that for you. It just talks about getting tangled up in something. No man that is actively involved in military duty gets tangled up with the affairs of this life or the business or the occupation of this life. The things that this world is involved in, you and I don't need to be involved in. Because what it does, it tangles us up. And it keeps us from being the soldiers that God wants us to be. A soldier, once he is enlisted, he leaves his calling and all the business of that calling in order that he may attend his captain's orders. The Roman soldier of Paul's day cut himself off from the affairs of everyday life and gave himself wholeheartedly to one thing, and that was being a soldier. Civilian life had ended. He was now an enlisted man. And for you and I, as a child of God, we live in this world, but we are not to live like this world. We are surrounded by this world on a daily basis, but we are not to let this world infect us with its attitude and its philosophy, because no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. A couple of things I think that we need to make sure that we watch out for with regards to this world. First of all, the aim of this world. The aim of this world we don't need to get tangled up in. Because this world does not in any way have its aim of glorifying God. You don't go and ask the people at Hollywood what their chief goal is in making movies and television programs, and they're going to tell you it's to glorify God. It's not going to be the case. Nothing wrong with a lot of that.
but we need to be careful that we don't get tangled up in this world's aim of not glorifying God. You see, this world doesn't want to glorify Him. This world wants to put Him down. This world wants to use His name in a curse phrase. This world wants to blaspheme the name of God. This world wants to go against everything we know to be true about God. This world wants to promote everything that is against the Word of God. But that's something you and I don't need to get tangled up in. We need to be careful about that. The world's music, its activities, its TV shows, its movies, a lot of those things all exist to glorify self and the devil. And we must protect ourselves from being influenced by the aim of this world. Now, I'm not saying go throw out all your music and go bust your television sets or anything like that. I'm just saying we need to be careful that we don't get tangled up in that stuff so much that we start getting away from our main job of being a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Because you know that as you get tangled, the Bible says you cannot hold on to the world and God at the same time. He said if you're going to be a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. So we can't hold on to both of them at the same time. We've got to make sure we allow God to be first place in our lives and everything else to be secondary. Because He is the one that we are to please. We should constantly, I think, be striving to glorify God in everything that we do. As the Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. The world, that's not their aim. God says that is to be our aim. So let's make sure we don't get tangled up in the aim of this world. Secondly, we need to make sure we don't get tangled up in the actions of this world. The world spends its time in things that matter little, things that have no eternal value. They spend their time partying and playing and carousing around doing all the stuff that the Bible teaches us we shouldn't do. The Bible teaches us that although some activities are harmless, we need to make sure that we spend our time more in the things of God than we do in the things of this world. With our actions, we need to make sure we don't get tangled up in those things. With our actions, we need to make sure that we're not like the world. With our actions, we need to make sure that we're not identified with the world in the things we do. There needs to be a difference between the child of God and somebody who's not saved. The Bible teaches that, and I firmly believe that you and I need to be different from somebody who doesn't know anything about God. Because it is by our lifestyle sometimes that somebody looks at us and sees something different and it makes them want whatever it is that we have. We need to live differently. Don't get tangled up in the things of this life. Don't get tangled up in the aim of this world or the actions of this world or, number three, the attitude of this world. The world says it's okay as long as it feels good. The world says there's no right or wrong. Just do what you want to do. But God says we need to have an attitude that is submissive to the direction of His Word. Don't get tangled up in this world. Stay loose from it. Don't get tied up in the things of this world, because this world is only temporal. It's going to pass away one day. And we need to live our lives devoted to the cause of Christ, the cause to which we have been called, the cause for which we have enlisted, the cause for which we have given our lives and said, I want to be a soldier of Jesus Christ. Because of that cause, you and I need to make sure that we give ourselves wholeheartedly to being that soldier, the best soldier we can be. And the Bible says, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Let's be careful. Stay loose from this world. There's a man in the Bible that illustrates this point very well. He's mentioned three times. The first is in Colossians 4:14, where Paul is finishing up his letter to the church at Colossae, and he talks about the people that are there with him. And he says, these people want to send greetings to you. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. And he mentioned the man by the name of Demas. Demas was there working with Paul. And he said he wants to say hello to you folks there in Colossae. The book of Philemon, verses 23 and 24, again, the same type situation. He says, they salute thee. These people want to salute thee. He said, Epaphras, who's my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, and Lucas, my fellow laborers. Again, he's writing to Philemon, and he says, Demas wants to say hello to you. He's here with me. He's my fellow laborer in Christ. And if those were the only two verses about Demas, we would think Demas was a great worker, and Demas was a man who helped Paul and was a tremendous asset for Paul's ministry. But there's a third mention of Demas, and it's in 2 Timothy 4:10. And Paul wrote this statement. He said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. What happened to Demas? Demas was a good soldier. He was fighting in the battle. But he started loving the things of this world more than he loved the things of God. And what happened? He left his post. Don't get tangled up in the things of this world. Stay loose from them so that you can be the soldier God wants you to be tonight. What about it? Is there something maybe that God has brought to your mind? Something maybe that you're involved in that doesn't need to be? It's keeping you from being the best soldier that you can be. It's a weight. It's holding you back from being the one that God wants you to be. Tonight, determine that you're going to cut that thing off. Cut that thing loose and decide that you're going to stay loose from the things of this world. So let's move on to the third thing. First of all, we see the endurance of a soldier. We see the entanglements of a soldier. And thirdly is the expectation of the soldier. What is expected out of my life and out of your life as a soldier of the cross? If we're going to be a dedicated soldier, first of all, we need to make sure that we endure hardness. If we're going to be a dedicated soldier, secondly, we need to make sure we don't stay tangled up in the things of this world. And thirdly, if we're going to be a dedicated soldier, we need to make sure that we follow through on what is expected of us. Look at the latter part of verse 4 with me. That he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. The word please there means this: to accommodate oneself to the opinions, desires, and interests of another. How true that needs to be of our life in relation to our Lord. Accommodating ourselves to his opinions, his desires, and his interests. Making those our own. Making what he wants, what we want. Making what he desires, what we desire. Making what he wants to see in life, making that our chief goal, to please our commander. Our one goal in life should be to please him. That's all that's expected out of us. That's our one goal. If you want to define the expectation of a soldier, if you don't want to forget those subpoints that I have under this right here, if you want to forget everything I say, the rest of the message, it can be summed up in one statement. We're to please the one who has chosen us to be a soldier. Please us. Please him with our lives. The one thing we should want to hear him say when we reach the end of the combat zone is this: well done, thou good and faithful servant, or thou good and faithful soldier. Well done. Few things that I think we ought to please God with. First of all, with our weapons. The Bible teaches us in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, what those weapons are. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins went about with truth, having on that belt of truth, living a life that is true, a life that is without deceit, and a life that is without lying. And having on the breastplate of righteousness, living a life that is righteous and holy before God. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. God says, here's the weapons you ought to use: the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, having the Word of God, because that gives you a sure footing and a sure foundation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying always. He goes on to talk about prayer and how important that is in our life, finishing up that passage there. That's the weapons that you and I have as children of God. Live a life that is true. Live a life that is righteous. Live a life that's close to God's Word. Taking that Word and using it as our sword to fight in the battles. Taking the shield of faith, using that to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That is the weapons that God has provided for us. And we don't need to use weapons of our own making, weapons of our own putting together. Where everybody is wanting to look for something new to help them gain the victory, something new to help them be successful in the Christian life, God spelled it out right there. He said, here's the armor. You're in a battle. Take that armor. You'll be successful. Use the weapons God's provided for you. Please God with your weapons. But secondly, please God with our words. Let's please God with our words.
One of the things that you want to avoid if you are a soldier is you want to avoid negative words. Complaining only provides dissension in the ranks. Avoid words that will cause strife among fellow soldiers. Strive to keep the peace, because only a unified army can accomplish victory. We've got too many people going around negative, bad-mouthing everything that moves just about. We don't need to add to the list. We need to decide that we're going to please God with the words that He wants us to say. What's the Bible say? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. I believe that's Ephesians 4:27. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. If it's not going to help somebody, we might as well not say it. That's really the truth. Avoid words that are going to cause strife among fellow soldiers. And the last thing is pleasing God with our work. War a good warfare. Work at being a good soldier. Find out your responsibility and give your life to doing it. The final battle has been fought. We're on the winning side. The devil already knows that he can't win. He's fighting a battle that he can't win. We're fighting a battle that we can't lose. Heard that in a song today on the radio, and it just came back to mind. He's fighting a battle that he can't win. We're fighting a battle that we can't lose. We're on the winning side. We may trip up, we may fall, we may falter, we may lose a few battles along the way, a few skirmishes along the way, but the final chapter has already been written. The last chapter in the book's already done. I've read it. We're on the winning side. We're going to come out victorious. He's going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, and we can rest assured and rest confident in that tonight. Don't give the devil a chance to win anything. Let's fight a good fight. Let's war a good warfare. Like what the Bible says about Jesus. John 8:29. Then he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. This is the phrase right here. It says, for I do always those things that please Him. If that's our expectation, if that's our goal in life, to please the one who has chosen us to be a soldier, that's what Jesus did on this earth. And that's the one we need to imitate. For I do always those things that please Him. Can it be said about you tonight that you do those things that please God? Is your life pleasing in His sight? Three characteristics about a soldier. A soldier has to endure. Has to endure hardship sometimes. If you're going through it tonight, just keep fighting. God will make sure you win. Just keep fighting. Stay enlisted. As a soldier, he doesn't need to get entangled in civilian life. It'll be a distraction to him. As a soldier of the cross, we can't be dedicated fully if we get tangled up in the things of this world. As a soldier, the one expectation is to please his commander. As a soldier of the cross, a dedicated soldier, our one expectation is to please the one who is our supreme commander. Let's please him with the things that we do. Thank you.